Well, most people in the world have just finished celebrating Christmas and New Year's. And I'm happy that these days are behind us. But what we have, Valentine's Day maybe coming up and then Easter. So it never ends. It's the world goes from one pagan holiday to the next. One of the major marketing schemes that you'll see advertised now in the newspaper, and you see this on TV quite a bit, is new diets. New diet programs, workout equipment, treadmills, Stairmasters, all of these different devices that you would work out with to maybe get in shape and build a little muscle. And a lot of these people, they know how to play on people. They know they're feeling a lot of guilt from eating and drinking too much. So these advertisers know how to make money. And even if we do not keep these secular holidays, I think it's easy for us, especially during the winter months, maybe to get out of shape a little bit, gain a little extra weight. I'm kind of living proof of that. I need to take off a few pounds myself. As Christians, it's also easy to get out of shape, spiritually speaking, as well, in certain areas of our life. But there's one area in particular that I'd like to speak on today that I think is very vital. It's very critical that we make sure that we're not careless with, and is a part of our lives that we need to not only be maintaining, but also growing in. And what I'd like to speak about and take a look at today is faith. Today, let's just try to break this down. I want to make it as simple as possible, break it down in simple terms, and look at this very important component in our life called faith. And I figured this out a while back, and it didn't take a lot of thought. But, you know, just because you own some nice running shoes and you own a nice expensive, maybe an expensive in-home gym, or you may be a member of a gym, just because you have all these things available doesn't mean you're going to be in great shape just because you have them. Louis Anderson, some of you may remember him. He was a slightly overweight comedian. And he said this one time. He said, "I bought a Stairmaster the other day," and he paused for a little bit, and he said, "I'm still staring at it." So my point is that we can have all the available tools in the world to help us and even to help strengthen our faith, but if we're not using these tools or resources, then what good is it? We're going to keep this, once again, simple, and I'd like for us to look at today is how to exercise our faith. We're going to take a look at some of the methods that I believe will help us to grow in faith. And we're also going to look at something that is equally important, or some of the things that will weaken our faith. And let's turn to a very familiar scripture that we've read many times in Luke 18 and verse 8. Luke 18 and verse 8. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." And Christ says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth?" Will he really find faith on this earth? And when we look at this rhetorical question that Christ asked the disciples, I would like for you maybe to ask this same thing to yourself as you look around and you see people in this world and you see all the things that are going on. Do you think God will find faith when he returns on this earth? Well, my answer would be yes, I think he will, but I don't think he'll find much. I don't think he'll find much. But in order for God to find faith in us, we must be using it. We must be exercising it in our life. And before we look at ways that we can exercise our faith and strengthen our faith, and I'm not going to get bogged down on this, but just a small definition of what faith is. Webster's defines faith as believe and trust in God. Believe and trust in God. I think that is a pretty accurate and simple definition. But also many times in the Bible, you'll see the word believe and you'll see the word faith. And these two words are interchangeable. And sometimes they are slightly different depending on the context. But most of the time, they're one and the same. And also, let's see the biblical definition of faith. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, another familiar scripture. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. But I want you to drop down to verse 6, if you would. Hebrews 11. Paul also says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him," which means Christ, "for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And so we see here that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, now let's look at some examples of ways that we can strengthen our faith. Once again, nothing jaw-dropping or amazing here. These are simple, I think simple, but yet effective techniques that we can use in strengthening our faith. Number one, we need to ask God for more faith. We need to ask God for more faith. Let's turn to Luke 17. We'll read verses 5 and 6. And the apostles said to the Lord, they're asking Him this question here, or giving Him something that they want more of. And they said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And so the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots,' and it would be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." So here we see the apostles asking God for more faith. Let's look in Mark 9, another example. Mark 9 and verse 14. We're going to read verses 14 through 24. "And when He came to the disciples, He saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw Him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to Him, greeted Him." This is Christ. "And He asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, but they could not cast it out, but they could not.' And He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to Him, and when He saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, he said, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him.' And the father says, 'If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible of him who believes.'" And notice what the father said here in verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So here we have a gentleman that wants more faith or belief in God, and I can relate to this individual. You know, there's certain times and certain things in my life that I would like to have more faith in. And sometimes it seems we can't get over certain problems and hurdles. And I think a lot of us have defects in our faith and belief in God. And so we'll continue to struggle with these certain things unless we totally yield to God and put our trust and our confidence in Him. But many times this will require prayer, and a lot of fasting. So point number one, we are to ask God to increase our faith, and especially in the areas that we are weak in. Point number two, we can strengthen our faith through the hearing of God's Word. And we've talked about this before. We are able to hear God's Word different ways. One of the ways that we're able to hear His Word, of course, is through studying and reading the Bible and studying. And we can also hear God's Word, of course, every Sabbath, hearing God's Word expounded, whether it's in a Bible study or on the Sabbath. But let's look at an example of this in Romans 10. Very interesting statement here that Paul makes in Romans 10. And we'll read verses 13 through 17. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." A lot of the secular Christianity in the world will just stop there and say all you've got to do is call on God. But there's always more to it than just calling on God. And Paul continues to elaborate on this. He says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? But notice in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can strengthen our faith by the messages that we hear. And I'd like to mention this, Jeremy does an excellent job in recording the sermons, and he has he's done a great job of keeping the library back there. So I hope that we're taking advantage of maybe going and getting CDs. And a lot of times it's nice to listen to through the week. There's not a whole lot worth listening to on the radio these days, and so maybe it'd be good to take advantage of that a little more. And also like to mention our church website has a lot of nice sermons there for us to listen to. Sometimes it's good to turn off the television and go to our website, and they have some fascinating messages there, and listen to a few of our feast during the feast, and very inspiring. So one of the ways that we can increase our faith is the hearing of God's word. Point number three, to acknowledge God's blessings in our life. This is a very important thing. This will strengthen our faith. And I often wonder this, how many times that we've prayed about certain things and we've asked God to help us in areas and he's been directly involved in our life helping us. But maybe we don't thank him enough for it, or we don't acknowledge these particular blessings. And have you ever maybe helped somebody out and they didn't acknowledge it, or they kind of just went on and didn't thank you for it? It certainly isn't a good thing that you feel, and you're almost human nature will tell you, well, I'll never help them again, you know. So, but it's always good to acknowledge when God is working things in your life. Let's turn to, let's look at an example in Philemon. Philemon, we'll read verse 4, and it's just one chapter before Hebrews. Just one book here. Philemon 4, Paul is saying, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith. Paul's heard some stories that people are talking to God about, and he says, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord and toward all the saints. And notice he says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it's very important that we acknowledge God and what he's doing in our life. And on that, I'd like to share a story with you that happened to me about, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I decided to have a yard sale. And I collected a bunch of older, I like antiques and older things. And I'd mentioned this to a few people in the church, but decided to have a yard sale. And some of the things I like, my wife calls junk, but I think it's nice. So I was going to get rid of some of my junk. And so anyway, a friend of mine down the street, he decided that he wanted to go in with me on the yard sale. He's getting ready to sell his house. So he said, I've got a lot of junk. So he brought it over and he advertised and did a lot of advertisement for the yard sale. And I wasn't expecting a lot of people because it was going to be cold this particular day. But conservatively speaking, I bet there was over 200 people at this yard sale. And they got there an hour before, and all day long people were in and out. And so we were kind of helping one another, and it was just sometimes it was real confusing. People will just be looking through everything. And so at the end of the day, we were talking, and we're kind of happy with all the people that come by. So I walked out in the back. This was later in the afternoon once we'd put everything up. And I walked out the back of my building, and I noticed something was missing on a piece of furniture that I had. It was a cabinet. And it was an old Prince Albert can that I had bought. not that I smoke Prince Albert. Mr. Groves is laughing over there. He's going to get me on that. But I had this old Prince Albert can, and I guess my friend had ended up selling it, and I didn't have it for sale because I had put some money in that can. And I'd been saving some money for a friend of mine that, well, he works with me, and he wanted to save some money, so we'd been putting money. There was $600 in the can. So we sold it for $2, so they got a good deal. But I felt bad about it, and I immediately went and prayed about it. And so anyway, the Sabbath was coming up, and I said, I don't want to be thinking about this the whole Sabbath. So I was able kind of to get it off my mind, but I did mention it to a few people in church that particular Sabbath. And that Sunday I was going to get some groceries, and Mr. Gore happened to call, and I talked to him for a little bit, and I mentioned it to Mr. Gore. He said he'd be praying about it. So when I got to the store, I got my groceries, and I went to pay, and there was a business card that was sitting in my wallet. And it was a lady that had left her card and said, if you ever come across any more antiques or anything, give me a call. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, it's worth calling her on the way home just to see if she might have bought the can. And so I called her, and she said, well, I'm at work. When I get home, I'll check and see if there's anything there. She said, all the stuff I bought from you is still in the garage. So she got home, and I got a call later that afternoon, and she said, that can is there. I wasn't going to tell this story because I knew what would happen. But anyway, it's an emotional thing for me because I know God was involved. And these type of stories will strengthen our faith. And again, it wasn't the $600. It is to know that God was directly involved in this particular situation. So acknowledging God's blessings in our life is very important if we are to strengthen our faith. Okay, now that we've looked at some ways that we can strengthen our faith, ways that will make us stronger in the faith, what are some of the things that we can do, or some of the things that will weaken our faith? I think this is equally important. What are some of the things that will weaken our faith? The first thing that I believe will weaken our faith is self-reliance. Self-reliance. Relying on oneself. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. By the way, that story is just one of many that I have seen God directly work in my life. And those are the stories like that are things that strengthen our faith that I think we need to share more of those with other God's people. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, we're talking about relying on ourselves. Solomon says here, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Notice in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And He says it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. When we totally yield to God in our life, we will find true happiness and prosperity in our lives. And a question that I think is fair to ask is, do we really want God in total control of our life? That's an important question. Do we want Him totally in control of our lives? You know, I think there's certain areas maybe in our life that we think that we're fine in. You know, I've got this under control, God. And I think sometimes we realize that if we do get God involved, it may require change. It may require us to be uncomfortable. And so we kind of avoid certain places in our life to get God involved in. But maybe there's other places, maybe our health we want God involved in, or financial blessings. But there's other things maybe that we tell God we have things under control. But have we ever considered that the deep roots of a lot of our problems are the ones that we're trying to control ourselves? God says to trust in Him with all of your heart and not just some of it. And when you do, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I'd like to look at an interesting scripture that is in 1 Timothy. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy. Mr. Schultz, I did the left water, so you got the right one. 1 Timothy 1. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. In other words, God's law is for those that are already keeping God's law and that are obeying it. But the law is made for those that break the law. And he says, notice this, for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers, and he goes on and on. But I'd like to look at this word and focus on insubordinate. Insubordinate. This word says insubordinate in my New King James Version, but if you're looking at the regular or the regular King James Version, it also can say disobedient, disobedient. But I think the New King James Version uses a better translation. And this insubordinate means not under any authority, as in God's authority. This means I don't need your help in certain areas, God. I'm going to take this myself. This is what this word insubordinate means. And what happens when we have this mentality? Let's turn over to Proverbs 14. Solomon will kind of touch on this as well in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Very familiar scripture. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And I'd like for you to notice what Wesley's note says about this. Not Wesley Boss's notes. This is the Bible commentary, Wesley's notes. It says there are some evil courses which men may think to be lawful and good. The end is the results that show that they were sinful and destructive. So there's ways in our life that we think that are we're doing good, it's lawful. But again, the end show that they are sinful and destructive. So the point is, we do not want to have our faith become weakened. We must totally rely on God and not on ourselves. This is a total reliance on God. Number two, another thing that will weaken our faith is not acting or responding to God in faith. A very important thing that we don't do is not act or respond to God. Most secular Christians, again today, will say that all you have to do is believe. They say all you have to do is believe, and maybe you just repeat a statement that you've accepted God as your Savior. And then at that point, you just sit back and you don't do anything, that Christ has done it all for you. What does James say about this philosophy? Let's look in James 2. James says something a little different here. Sometimes we read this to people that tell us this, and it just doesn't seem to register for whatever reason, but James makes this very clear, very plain. James 2 and verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, and James says you do well. And this is just like secular Christianity. They believe that there is one God. They believe in God. And he says you do well. But then notice what he says. Even the demons believe and tremble. So just because you believe in God and the demons believe and tremble, are the demons going to be saved? I don't think so. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar? And he goes on and talks about faith of Abraham. He talks about Rahab, the harlot. These are mentioned in Hebrews 11 in the faith chapter. These are some of the examples that he's showing. And you can look at all of the examples of what the patriarchs did and how each one exemplified their faith by doing some remarkable things. They did some things that had defining moments in their life, and some things that they did that I'm sure God said the same thing as he told Abraham in Genesis when he was going to offer his son Isaac up as a sacrifice. God said, now I know, now I know. And these are faith-defining moments, and I wonder if God looks at us from time to time when we do a certain act, and he tells us, he says, now I know. And that can be in a good way, and sometimes it can be in a bad way. If we fall short and God looks at us and says, now I know. But God's merciful and kind, and hopefully he sees us growing. And another thing I want to mention in Hebrews 11, I think it would be a very, very short chapter if Paul just mentions all of these faithful individuals, and after he mentions them, he says all they did was believed. No, there's great stories behind each individual of the things that they did to show their faith. And it brings us to point number three, things that can weaken our faith, is doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. Let's turn to 1 John 4. This is just four to a few chapters. 1 John 4, chapter 4 and verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Notice in verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect fear casts out fear. And he says something very profound here. He says, because fear involves torment. But he who fears not has been made perfect in love. And fear does involve torment. I know personally there was a point in my life, especially when Trish and I decided to have children. We were starting a family, and I was starting a new business. There was many times that I would worry about a lot of different things and stay up at night just staring at the ceiling, worrying. And a lot of times it can take its toll on your health, your mental health and physical health. And it was with God's help that He began to show me some areas that I needed to make some changes and adjustments in, and to put my trust totally in God. And realize the funny thing about worrying is that it will not change one single thing in your life. You can stay up all night worrying about something, but the next day is going to be the same, no matter if you worried or not about what you were that kept you up all night. One particular study I read that says 8% of what we fear will never really affect our life. 8% of what we fear. So 92% of our worrying is a waste of time. And I'll tell you what is not a waste of time, though, is taking all of our doubts and fears to God and taking it to Him and letting Him work these things out. This is brought out in Matthew 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Christ says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? And let's drop down to verse 33. Very, very familiar, one of my favorite scriptures, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day of its own troubles. So when we begin to let go of these doubts and fears and bring them to God, then we will be able to have this load or this burden taken off of our shoulders. And for one final scripture, let's turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Christ says, come to me, all you who labor. This could also mean worrying is like labor, isn't it? They're full of heavy burdens. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, brethren, printed on our American money are the words, in God we trust. But do we really trust Him as a country? You know, when somebody in this world gets sick, a little cold, they run to the doctor. If They maybe lose their job. Instead of seeking employment, they'll run to the unemployment office. And so many people today no longer trust or has faith in God. And so many people today rely on a man-made government to take care of all their needs. Thomas Jefferson once said that when a government is able to take care of all your needs, then they're able to take care of all you have. And I believe this to be true. They'll take care of our faith in God as well. We put our faith in a nation, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. People put their faith also in many other things. They put their faith in how much money they have in their banking account. Ezekiel 7, verse 19 says that in the day of the wrath, that God, when God returns, prior to God returning, that people would be throwing gold and silver into the streets, which is equivalent to money. And I believe the reason that they'll be throwing gold and silver or their money into the streets is because they won't be able to buy anything. There won't be anything to buy, such as fuel and clothing and food. And so we hear this, and we've been told this, that we need to stay close to God, that that's going to be our best banking account that we can ever have, is to be close to God. And one of the ways that we're able to stay close to God is by growing in faith. Well, Christ said to his disciples, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth? Yes, I believe he will, but not much. And brethren, if he finds it in you and I, if he finds it in us, I believe he will find it not because we sat around and saying we just believed. It will be because we've done all the things to exercise and strengthen our faith. So let's not be dormant during these winter months. Let's go to work. Let's work on strengthening our faith in God as we prepare for the spring holy days coming up and as we prepare for the return of Jesus Christ.